This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Welcome everybody to the Safina Saadi Nothing But Facts live stream on a warm, surprisingly warm Wednesday here in the great state of New Jersey, brought to you by GRT, and we just froze. Wonderful. Maybe the camera's too hot. Maybe we need to turn the fan on. Yeah. Ajib. All right, so let's get on with our dhikr anyway. La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin. And let's get the fan too. La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin. 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 لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا وكان عند الله وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نصر من الله وفتح قريب بشر المؤمنين يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى بن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم وأعوذ نفسي بالله تعالى من كل ما يسمع بأذنين ويبصر بعينين ويمشي برجلين ويبطش بيدين ويتكلم بشفتين حصنت نفسي بالله الخالق الأكبر من شر ما أخاف وأحذر من الجن والإنس وأن يحضرون عز جاره وجل ثناؤه وتقدست أسماؤه ولا إله غيره اللهم اجعلك في نهور أعدائي وأعوذ بك من شرورهم وتحيلهم ومكرهم ومكائدهم أطفئ نار من أراد بي عداوة من الجن والإنس يا حفظ يا حفيظ يا كافي يا محيط سبحانك يا رب ما أعظم شأنك وأعز سلطانك تحسنت بالله بأسماء الله بآيات الله وملائكة الله وأنبياء الله ورسل الله والصالحين من عباد الله حصنت نفسي بلا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم احرسني بعينك التي لا تنام واكنفني بكنفك الذي لا يرام وارحمني بقدرتك علي فلا أهلك وأنت ثقتي ورجائي يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا درك الهالكين يا درك الهالكين يا درك الهالكين اكفني شر كل طارق يطرق بليل أو نهار إلا طارقا يطرق بخير إنك على كل شيء قدير بسم الله أرقي نفسي من كل ما يؤذي ومن كل حاسد الله شفائي بسم الله رقيت اللهم رب الناس أذهب الباس اشفي أنت الشافي وعافي أنت المعافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا ألما يا كافي يا وافي يا حميد يا مجيد ارفع عني كل تعب شديد واكفني من الحد والحديد والمرض الشديد والجيش العديد واجعلني نورا من نورك وعزا من عزك ونصرا من نصرك وبهاء من بهائك وعطاء من عطائك وحراسة من حراستك وتأييد من تأييدك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والمواهب العظام سألك أن تكفيني من شر كل ذي شر إنك أنت الله الخالق الأكبر وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll take 2 minutes for dua. Bismillah. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, attendees of the Safina Society Nothing But Facts live stream, and we have a lot of guests. We have a full house. Maybe we need to bring the fan closer to the camera so it doesn't freeze again. But let's won't freeze anymore. Sheikh Ajib, who are our guests today? Who do we have here? Lathan, come. The Laith Newton from the live stream is here. MashaAllah. Where did you drive from?
Philadelphia.
From Philly. Allahu Akbar. So this is the Laith Newton that we always see here. MashaAllah. Ahlan wa sahlan. And who do we have here?
My business partner, Hammer.
Prime Halal Meat Packing. Allahu Akbar.
How are you?
How are you? Salam. Where do you pack meat?
Philadelphia.
Philly. There's some Philly meat here. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, very good, very good. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a schedule today. We have a short stream, but we have a packed one. Firstly, of course, everyone is going to want to talk about the election, but what is there to talk about except that I said it, right? But everyone, a lot of people said it, to be honest, that it was going to be a landslide, and it was a landslide. She didn't win a single swing state. They're counting Arizona and New Mexico, but big whoopty, New Mexico is 6 electoral votes, right? But you know why? It's not that I'm happy of the result. Of course, I'm not happy with any result like this. But I am happy when you get to realize, like, I do understand stuff, right? Because you look for signs. Everyone's pollsters are doing. Everyone's looking for signs of what's coming. And your brain is useful when it could sort of predict the future for you. That means your cause and effect connections are strong. And there are people who have cause and effect connections that are very strong, right? They live better. If you could sort of, if you have a map in your brain and say, okay, when this and this happens, right? Then you aren't surprised so much in your life, right? People who live long, they have this, right? In baseball, they got something called the bench coach. His only qualification is he's been around for ages, right? So he's like, I've seen this before. I've seen a situation where this and this, this happened. This produces the result. It's not rational. It's just demonstrable. This is what happens. So I guess I'm not, I'm happy that that is confirmed. The fact that my own little polls were correct. And it was right into 2016. And I was shaky about 2020, right? Because he went in with no steam, no energy. COVID totally dropped the ball on COVID. So I was like, I don't know if he's going to win in 2020. And then this time, I felt like it was going to be a landslide. But, you know, it's a suspicion. It's a guess. Just based on the little signs that we see. So look at this. Pennsylvania went his way. Michigan went his way. Wisconsin went his way. And Georgia went his way. That was a flipped state. That's four. Florida and Ohio no longer. They're no longer, whatchamacallit? Swing states. They're no longer swing states. And then you have New Mexico and Arizona remaining as swing states. New Mexico is like a mini swing state. It's not important. It's only six electoral votes. Arizona was pretty important, right? Arizona has what, like 11 electoral votes or something like that? That's pretty decent. So here we go with, you see the title of today's stream, The Crusaders Have Defeated Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's how they are to me. I'm going to judge them on their worst, right? I'm not going to judge them on... You can't judge it on the best. If I'm telling you there's a wonderful leg of lamb, but this one has poison in it, and the other one has... I don't know. Less seasoning. So, you know, one's got poison, and one's got feces in it, right? I'm not going to judge it by how good their good side is, right? I'm just judging it by what their bad side is. And the bad side is exactly this. One is a group of crusaders and one is a group of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And that's how I view them. Is anyone in to differ on that? That's what these guys are. They're pushing that, it's like a white supremacist crusader of memes. That's what they are. Agenda on one side and then the Qom Lut operation on the other side. By the way, this is it. This is the last MAGA party. This is the last MAGA party. First, even if he lives the 4 years, he could die. He can get killed, right? If he lives. Even if he lives through to the next election, he's going to be too old to run around the way he's running around now. He barely made it this round. That's number one. Number two, no one's coming like this. P.T. Barnum, that's it. He's a showman, right? There are no showmen left. Unless someone else comes out of the blue like that's, I don't know what, but there isn't going to be someone who's going to galvanize them the way he did. At least not right away. And the Democrat side, I don't know. Can they ever produce a strong candidate? Their whole quality is to be weak. Right, their qualities, they love like weakness in men, right? So will they ever produce a strong candidate again? I don't know. What do you think, Leith?
I don't think so. They badger towards their, you know, quote-unquote minority base.
Yeah.
And this election, the minority group just came out and said, well, we're not going to vote for you.
Yeah.
And then the first thing they do, they start attacking the minority group.
Yeah.
Be the first ones to tell you what to do, but if you go against them,
yeah,
they'll start calling you terrorists, they'll start calling you misogynist, they'll start calling you racist. That's the first thing they did on MSNBC.
Yeah.
They started attacking all the Spanish people that voted against them,
mm-hmm,
and all the black men, they start calling them misogynist.
So we got, I saw a guy put out something that made a lot of sense. So liberal logic is, we support African Americans until they're conservatives, like Candace Owens, or Judge Joe Brown, right? We support Hispanic Americans as long as they're not anti-abortion, religious anti-abortion people, right? But anyway, also, like, you guys are all a minority. That's not a unifying force to be a minority. Minorities are all different. Who says the minorities, like, are one thing that get along with everybody, that they're all the same, that you could stroke them with one brush like this? I don't see, it's not doesn't mean it's not going to happen in 4 years, but I just don't see where they're headed with their vision. Like Obama was like a one-off. I don't see where they're headed in their vision. Like, what are you fighting for? Okay, you're going to go down with abortion. That's a one-gender issue. Most guys are not... Okay, he's going to... Maybe he'll go for abortion because of somebody, right? You know, because of his loved one or something. I don't know. That's what people are saying. I went with Kamal because of my... I want my wife to be comfortable with abortion and my girlfriend to be comfortable with abortion. That's not an issue for half the genders, right? It's not even an issue for every woman. There are liberal women who want to have kids too, right? Anyway, you see all these things. And there's another filter I have. There's another really good filter. Which side has merchandise? That tells you how much support they got. Because merchandise means someone is willing to pay money. Politics is usually for free. You're speaking, you are chasing after my attention, right? In politics. Merchandise, a guy's willing to pay, right? Regular guys buying a t-shirt. Not big donors and companies. They have interests. No, the regular guy. That is one of the filters. Which one's got, you know, with merch is moving. It is a filter of how much people care. They're willing to put a buck in. You want to say something, Ali? Yeah. Put your mic on.
Isn't half of their stuff propaganda anyways? Especially for MAGA?
It's all a show. It's all a show. But
and they wear it. It's just people walk around and they get mad. People on the street get mad. The liberals will get mad at the red hat. Uh-huh. Always. Without doubt.
Okay, so he's got a red hat. Where is the opposite side's branding? Where is the opposite side's message? Like the very basic, what is your message? Like, what is Harris's message, by the way?
Trump bad.
Trump is bad. That's it. What was Clinton's message? Trump is bad. That's it. Like, you don't even know what your message is. Clinton's message was love Trump's hate. In her own slogan, she's got the guy's name. I don't know what is Kamala's message, even. Like, until now, what is it? No idea. Yeah, what? She wasn't even elected. It's not like she won primaries. So she's not good at winning. Well, she did win a Senate seat at some point, right? But she didn't win the primary to become the nominee. So she's like put in because the other guy was so bad. She and most people... Iowa. Huh?
She was so bad, she didn't even make it to Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a winning formula. So we'll see what happens. You never know what's going to happen in 4 years, but I am pretty confident that this was the last MAGA party. After this, I don't see how they're going to continue this, right? It's like, you know, when Tom Brady retired, that's it. You can try to imagine that Cam Newton's going to do the job or something, but you never follow up a show like that with anybody else. It's always a steep hill. And J.D. Vance is another bolt. He's not going to... No one's turning the channel on. No one's clicking on those YouTube videos when J.D. Vance is talking. His movie was a sleeper, and that was a movie. They're trying to entertain you, right? 100% entertainment. His movie that he made with his mom or about his mom and all that, that was the biggest, most depressing sleeper of a movie that you ever could possibly see. Figures they don't talk about it. But here is a debate. Did the Muslims actually flip Michigan? Or not flip Michigan, hand Michigan to Trump? There are people saying yes, they did. People saying no, they didn't. I guess we'll never know, right? We'll never know. There is no statistic that said Muslims voted this, is there?
I guess in like the specific Muslim areas, like Dearborn, they can go and see who, but like how many voted for, you know, which candidate.
Yeah, as an exit poll.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I guess in like areas like Detroit, I guess a little bit harder to tell.
Mm-hmm. And also, what about all the suburbs outside of it's Dearborn and what's that other Pensacalkin or something? It's got a Native American name. The second town next to Dearborn. Yeah, it's got Hamtramck. Yeah, that's the other big city. It's almost probably equivalent to Dearborn number of Muslims. Hamtramck. I think Hamtramck's government, the town government, is all Muslim. Yeah. So when they didn't want the gay pride flag up, they made a law to have no flags up, only the U.S. flag. Fair law. So, yeah. So it's said that they're the ones responsible for pushing Michigan. All right, now let's take a look at another question. The anti-Biden, oust Biden, anti-Harris movement, if they take credit, and they will take credit, for pushing Harris out, regardless of whether or not that's true or not, we'll never know. But now every bad thing that happens, the Democratic loyalists are going to start saying, here you go, you did this, you deserve this, right? You're the ones who pushed out. But that's why I said from the beginning, it doesn't make a difference. No one is stopping the Israel machine. No one can control these people. No one can control Netanyahu, right? Whether blue or red in the White House, Republican or Democrat, Trump or Harris, it's going either, regardless, right? Either way. If anything, I do see possibly Trump giving them a huge concession, humongous, right? And end the war quick. Like, for example, just take West Bank and Gaza. Take it all. Just make it all Israel, right? And then take it and then stop right there. I could. That's possible. In which case, he's going to be able to say, I ended the war. But he also will tell the Jewish lobby, I gave you all that. Like, I'm responsible for that. So that's one way he could play it. What did he say? Netanyahu's tweet to Trump. Congratulations on history's greatest comeback. Your historic return to the White House offers a new beginning for American and powerful recommitment to the great alliance between Israel and America. Huge victory. True friendship. Yours, Benjamin and Sarah Netanyahu. And he's the one who was one of the first people to recognize Biden when Biden won. These guys are monafic, right? He was the first guy. Yep.
That's actually kind of funny because I think, was it Trump about 4 or 5 days ago gave him a deadline to
yeah.
January.
Yeah.
Nobody else did that. Even Biden didn't even do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He gave him a deadline, an open deadline.
I'm telling
whether
you.
Whether it's real or not, we don't know. But
yeah.
Just publicly to say something like that is pretty
bad. I'm telling you, Trump's strategy is I think he realizes how short-term memory people have, right? And how it's really hard to say, hey, you said this, and now you're doing this. It's like it's cumbersome, and it doesn't work. So I think he relies on the fact that it really doesn't make a difference what anyone says or what your record is. The only thing that matters is how I'm making you feel right now. That's the only thing that matters. And that's what a snake oil salesman is, essentially. A snake oil salesman, he just tries to make you feel good at this moment. Nothing about his words or can be carried over into the next day. Right? All right, here's...
I hope it is.
Yeah. I mean, for their sake, I hope it is true. But what price would you pay if they say, okay, from now on, West Bank and Gaza is Israel? But then again, there's the question, so are they citizens now? Are the people who live there citizens? That's a question.
Have the same rights?
Yeah, do they have the same rights? Yeah, because that's a problem. Because if they do, they'll vote them out.
Yeah.
Omar, let's stick this starboard tag up, please. Here's a saying from the New York Times. In her closing rally on the ellipse last week, Kamala Harris scorned Donald J. Trump as an outlier who did not represent America. In fact, it turns out that may be exactly who we are, right? But here's the thing, is that one thing that Trump, I think, got and the others didn't is his presence in the entertainment business. And a lot of these guys were not in the entertainment business. And his ability to just realize that people turn on the TV just to be entertained, right? That during Clinton's time, I felt that Clinton doesn't get it. She keeps trying to talk policy. Guy's not going to come home, right, in dead of winter, turn on a debate or something like that at 8 p.m. to think. Like, life, we're sort of not living in that era anymore. It's all about a soundbite here, a soundbite there, a zinger here, a zinger there. And if you're going to have a policy, you better have such a simple policy you could say it in a second grade sentence, right? Like the first round, the first election, let's build a wall. Second grade sentence, right? Any child, you know, who does Bob the Builder can get it. anyone can get it. Build a wall. It's a visual thing. The words are really simple. She didn't have a single, like, catchphrase similar to that.
Right.
And that's essentially what I felt like. This wasn't even a thing about as much as it was politics and policy, because I can't think you can really pin down what Trump even means. Yeah, stuff like that. And I felt like it was like more about who can communicate a simpler message, who can entertain an audience, right? And that's it.
It's all show business, so
that's what it is. He took it to show business before anybody else did, right? He took it to show business before anyone else did. And it wasn't even show business. You put an actor up there, he's going to be shaking in his boots, because an actor never gets hit with attacks. Yeah. He... That's what they do. Just follow script. What he did is, I think he revolutionized entertainment, to be honest with you. Entertainment went from fiction to reality TV. He took the jump to reality, right? Let's just make reality to be entertainment. Yeah. Fake news moves more needles, right, than actual news. And then he realized, what's his enemy? The enemy is the truth, right? The enemy is the facts. It's his enemy. So let's undermine the news, right? Fake news is the biggest slogan, bigger than any. Like, what is CNN's slogan? What is any of these newscasters? Fake news is a bigger idea even than any of these newscasters. People just jump on right away. Fake news, right? Right away, he's got them trained to undermine the source that's going to undermine me. I'm going to talk. These guys are going to come and bring the facts. I can't have that. Undermine fake news. So the whole fake news campaign. And it's also something about the phrase, right? It's just catchy, right? Fake news. Yeah, I've seen old people, right? Daces, Egyptians. I've seen when someone says something, they jump fake news, right? They just like to say it. That's it. And don't underestimate that there's a psychology behind words that just you like to say.
Attention spans are
so short.
Very quick.
Yeah.
The fake news is considered the real news, and the real news is considered the fake news.
Yep.
That's how, like, Israel did this whole thing with, like, the beheaded baby.
Yep.
And all this other stuff. All fake news, but... Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you bought the soundbite. No one's getting the correction. Right? No. Here's a sign, another sign your society's sort of going downhill, is that, honestly speaking, ask around your friends. When you want to know something, right, when you want to get the inside scoop, I'm going to bet, if betting was hello, I would, right? Or I'll wager, same thing, that most people are going to go to Twitter and see what the memes are before they go to an actual news source, right, and get the news. I'm not saying that that's any good. I'm just saying that is going to be the bulk of people, right? The bulk of people. Let's go to my timeline and see what memes have come out on this right away. Forget the news. Like, I remember when the barge blocked the Suez Canal?
Yeah. Yeah.
When that ship blocked the Suez Canal?
Yeah.
So... forget the facts of what's actually happening. Let's go straight to the memes. That's why when you have so much entertainment, you dumb down your populace. And that's what's going on. When you have a dumbed down populace, you can't win an election on facts, policies, truths. You're going to win it on getting attention. That's it. And branding and all this superficial stuff and memes. And who by the way, who makes these TikTok dances? Because... like, they're all the same, right? As soon as a song comes out, the dance and the song is the same. Is there some kind of, like, big money behind it that pushes that? Because how does that get unified so quick, right? How does it... did you notice that gets unified so quick? It's like the soundbite comes out. Right away, it's a dance meme. Or it's a dance, whatever. It's become a song and a dance. And how does it get unified so quickly? Yeah, it's like, who's making the original edit? That's my question. Which is why you start to realize that these apps are probably psyops. Like, very high level, tons of money are put into this. a lot of paid actors, and then it becomes organic after that. Then it becomes everyone's doing it. But how does it get within a span of 2 weeks, Kamala's asleep, or Biden's asleep, and Kamala's at a dance party, right? How did that become one song that everyone's dancing to so quickly? Like, why isn't it like you came up with a song? Like, organic way, but you came up with one, I came up with one, five people different came up, and then it'll take like a month to unify into one. How is it happening so quickly? Which suggests to me there's got to be like some kind of algorithm moving money behind all these things to get young people, to get that segment of the population. And to think that segment of the population, their vote counts the same as like the federal judge that lives in the next city over.
A girl said when he was in line yesterday, he was telling me that she was like, I was sold on Kamala when, was it Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
When Taylor Swift endorsed her.
Yeah.
No policy.
Yep.
No nothing. Just an endorsement for a celebrity.
That's it. And democracy is, it's got to be built on educated populace, a mature populace. But once it gets this, by the way, this one of the living proofs, I think we've literally seen the living proof that the office of presidency is now just a superficial, really superficial, is that has anyone realized that we're actually, right now, we don't have a president. For the last year, we haven't had a president. What has Biden been doing for the last year? For 6 months, when they knocked him out in the last 5-6 months, for sure we don't have a president. Yeah. Right? Wakes up. What does he do all day? Nothing serious. For sure nothing serious, right? So that's the proof right there. You know, Elon Musk once said that a secretary that he had asked him for a raise. He said, well, how much should I give you a raise for? She said, I really don't know. He said, well, then why don't we do this? Why don't you take 2 weeks off? I'll see how bad things get. Then I'll know your worth, right? So she took 2 weeks off. She comes back, and he said, you know what? I realized nothing changed, so you're fired, right? You're worth zero because literally nothing changed. We're all moving on. And he sacked her. I don't know if that's a real story, if he made that up, but it's a great concept. It's the same concept here. We literally do not have anyone at the wheel. What difference does it make?
It's so funny you say this. It's a Twitter meme thing.
Yeah.
You won't believe this.
Hmm.
A guy tweeted from India's Prime Minister's Ballery account.
Yeah.
Congratulating Trump.
Yeah.
And the national media actually reported it on
as a thing. They got fooled, huh? They got fooled. I have a limit on how much I can hear the accent, I'm sorry to say. No, I'm just kidding. But we all do, we just don't want to say it, right? Narendra Modi parody account. Oh my God. Hilarious.
It,
parody. And they still put it out there. Ajib, man. Shay Ajib. Okay, so what is the... what does Dark Broly say? Dark Broly, what are you saying here? Dark Broly. We're not in the QA session yet, but Dark Broly said something. I'm like, when will Dar Effect accept new students? Okay, yeah, they'll get back to you soon. They get back to everyone, like, usually in one day. All right, what else were we saying here about all this stuff? Anyone else has any final comments on this stuff?
I have a question, actually. So what is the future looking like?
The future?
Next election.
Well, next election, I don't think the Team Red has anything going for them.
What about Blue?
Blue? They're going to have to come up. Something's going to have to happen with them because they're also flat. So flat. They can only produce weak people.
I think next election is going to be more critical than this one. Because times are only getting worse, and, you know, Trump, who's going to be running for the Republicans next?
I think it's going to be very sleepy next election.
Need to work on
yeah.
No history.
Yeah. Say again.
I said both parties need to work on themselves and bring up an actual
Yeah. By the way, you know this corporate tax thing? Just basic economics says this is not always a good idea. When you tax corporations, well, what is the purpose of a corporation? It's to make sure they make money, right? So if you tax them, they're not going to pay the tax straight and keep all business the same. They build it in. Either your product gets cheaper or it gets more expensive. They pass on all costs of a business, the nature of a business. All costs of a business get passed on to the customer, right? That's how it has to happen. Otherwise, you're not a good business. So when the Democrats are pushing for corporate taxing, you're just raising our prices. It's not coming out of the CEO's pocket. It's not coming out of the shareholder's pocket. It can't. The CEO will be dead if it comes out of the share. He'll be fired. His whole job is to ensure that the shareholders are doing well. He's not there to serve the customer only. He's there to serve the customer in order to serve the shareholders, in order to serve himself. So who's at the bottom of that ring? The customer. It's CEO's mentality is the customer is to be used to please shareholders who pay me, right? The board and the shareholders will ultimately pay the guy. So we're the last ones that any corporation is worried about, unless it's an anomaly like Arizona Iced Tea. You know, that guy, he's like, he has a different philosophy. He's like, we have enough money. We're not keeping our prices. We're not moving our prices, keeping it the same. So even that concept that they say we need to tax corporations, it's not a great, it doesn't always work, right?
You pay it on your personal tax returns.
Yeah, enough? Yeah.
Generally, corporations don't pay.
Yeah.
It's double taxation.
Mm-hmm.
So when they keep on saying, oh, corporate, I'm going to make corporations pay their fair share.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It's against the law. It can't be taxed twice.
Yeah.
You're going to pay it on your personal end or you're going to pay it on the corporate end.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. So it's just a talking point.
Yeah, even with the policy, it's a talking point. That's all it is. Make the rich pay. The rich are not going to pay. They're going to pass it on to you, to their customers.
Don't you like it when rich people actually say that? I don't mind paying more taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're from Philly or New York?
Philadelphia.
Philly? Cheap. Here we go, folks. Let's go to segment number 3. We did the dua. We talked about this election. All right. We are going to read a little bit. And then we'll do a couple Q&As. And then we're going to bounce because we have a short stream today, about only an hour, about 2:45 will be done today. But let's read a little bit of Tafsir because all this nonsensical talk, it just gets to your head and rusts your heart. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Walawla an katab Allahu alayhimul jala'. Al-jala' is khuruj. And the talk here is about the Bani Nadir tribe of the Yahud, when they plotted to kill the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you can't plot against revelation, you're going to lose every time. So the angel Jibreel informed him about this, so he came with an army. Yep. And here's the funny thing, they never denied it, right? Because a skeptic could say, hold on a second, yeah, how convenient you come with an army and tell me an unseen angel told you that we're plotting something, right? But why don't we look at the other side? They never denied it. They never denied that they tried to kill the Prophet. And they wanted to have a meeting with the Prophet, three of you and three of us, and yet they sent their ambassadors with knives. And yet before the Prophet got there, they stopped them. Al-Khuruj min al-Watan. Al-Jala is to be expelled, to be kicked out. Al-Khuruj min al-Watan. La'adhabahum fi dunya. If Allah had not done this, what's the alternative for them? They would have been tortured in this world. How? By actually fighting against the Muslims, in which they would have lost. Many of them would have been killed, and all of their wealth would have been taken, and they would have been taken as prisoners and therefore slaves. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابُ النَّارِ. And regardless, whether they are expelled or they're fought, they're going to be punished in the next life with hell. That is because they continue to go against God and His messengers. They imagine themselves to be able to fight against God and His prophets. You know that there's a play that states that it's a bunch of rabbis made a play in which, in this play, Holocaust survivors take God to court. And they sit him down in a witness box and they grill him. Right? So your intellects don't work right. Because when you say the word God, you're referring to the all-powerful, all-just, all-wise that can never be defeated. Yet you're treating him as if he's not all-powerful, not all-wise, never defeated. So your intellects are backwards. Like they're not working right. Any basic logic is that when you string a sentence together, you can't have contradiction in each. So it's full of contradiction. ما قطعت من لينة وذلك أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما نزل ببني النضير وتحصنوا بحصونهم أمر بقطع نخيلهم وإحراقها. The Bani Nadir, when they caged themselves in or they locked themselves into their fortresses, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam show them that he is serious and that they can't continue this and that if they do this, it's going to lead to their failure? Well, what he did was he began chopping down their trees. Now, in general, that's not allowed. But when the Prophet, peace be upon him, does something, he's telling us the exceptions. So not only do we need to know the rules, we need to know the exceptions. Omar, am I getting a haircut again in these thingies? You guys notice I always get a haircut. It's as if I buzzed the back of my head. Can you make sure that I don't get a haircut? Yeah. All right. So he began cutting down their trees to show them that this is not going to work for you. You're going to lose all your orchards. You're going to lose your wealth. قالوا يا محمد زعمت أنك تريد الصلاح أفمن الصلاح عقر الشجر وقطع النخيل. Oh, messenger, you said you wanted to have a discussion and have peace. So why are you cutting down our trees? فهل وجدت فيما زعمت أنه أنزل عليك الفساد في الأرض. All right, is this what has been revealed to you? To destroy the earth like this? So the Muslims began to wonder. And they were upset about this, okay? And they started to worry, is this corruption in the land? Because we're cutting down these beautiful palm trees. It takes a long time for them to grow, and they produce so much beautiful dates. وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لَا تَقْطَعُوا فَإِنَّهُ مِمَّا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So some people said, don't cut anything out. Don't cut anything anymore. And another group said, بَلْ نغيضهم بقطعها. No, we're going to keep prodding away at them by cutting it because they need to be moved to get out of their fortresses. فأنزل الله هذه الآية بتصديق من نهى عن قطعه وتحليل من قطعه من الإثم. Right, so Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayah. ما قطعتم من لينة أو تركتموها قائمة فبإذن الله. Both of you are correct. Okay? Both of them are by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verse says, ما قطعتم من لينة أو تركتموها. You have not cut a tree or left the tree. Right? Except that is by the permission of Allah. So both of your minds are working properly. This is an example of both two things possibly being correct. Now he gives a sanad here that goes back to Ibn Umar that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then burned some of them to get them to move, to get them out of their fortresses. فنزلت, then this ayah was revealed. Okay. ما قطعوه وما تركوه فبإذن الله. What they cut and what they left is by the permission of Allah as a punishment for them. So if you leave it, that's going to be your fruit. In the future, you are going to own these trees. They're going to be your spoils of war. And if you cut it, you move your enemy and you force them to get out of their fortresses. النخل كله لينا ما خلى العجوة وهو قول عكرمة وقتادة. And there were مقتاد من لينة أو تركتموها. لينة is a description of palm trees. Fahd, you here? Hey Fahd, how many votes did you get? You got some? 16?
More than one.
160?
What's that?
160 votes?
A few thousand.
A few thousand? Not bad. Not bad. A few thousand. And who won?
The scumbag.
What's his name again?
Shouldn't mention names of people like that. He's the second worst Zionist in Congress.
What's his face? Green whatever? Huh? Yeah.
Pallone.
Pallone.
Yeah.
Pallone. تألفوا في اللينة ورواه زادان عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقطع نخلهم إلا العجوة. So عجوة is not described as a lina. So the prophet didn't cut the عجوة. The عجوة date is, let's see if we have any. See this little date right here? It literally looks like a grape. It's the size of a large grape. I don't know if people can see this. It's the size of a large grape. Right? Gentlemen, you're eating these عجوة dates. Yassin, pass to our Philly guests. They don't have عجوة dates in Philly. وأهل المدينة يسمون ما خل العجوة من التمر الألوان واحدها لون ولينة. So the non-عجوة dates, they call them لينة. An عجوة is not described as لينة. Zuhri says, هي ألوان النخل كلها إلا العجوة والبرنية. عجوة and another one called البرنية. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever eats 7 عجوة dates in the morning, he has a protection from sihr, black magic, and poison and other things. Taimur, one عجوة date for you. Fahd, this is your consolation for not winning the congressional seat, but tafaddal. You get an عجوة date for trying.
This is better.
Well, you get a date for trying. Participation award.
It's a little bit liberal of you, sir.
وقال العوفي عن ابن عباس هي لون من النخل. And they continue discussing the types of dates. قال مقاتل هي ضرب من النخل يقال لثمرها اللون وهو شديد الصفرة يرى نواه من خارج يغيب فيها الضرس. Okay. وما أفاء الله على رسوله. What is الفيء? It's the spoils of war. ما أفاء, whatever the spoils of war Allah brought to his companions. رده على رسوله يقال أفاء يفيء أي رجع وأفاء الله. So the فاء is that which comes back to you. منهم أي من اليهود من بني نضير فما أوجفتم أي أوضعتم عليه من خير ولا ركاب يقال وجف الفرس والبعير وأراد بالركب طالب المسلمون من يقسمها بينهم كما فعل بغنائم خيبر. فبين الله تعالى في هذه الآية أنها فيء لم يوجف المسلمون عليها خيلا ولا ركابا ولم يقطعوا إليها شقة. So what he's saying here is that you got spoils of war with no effort. There was no battle. You didn't have to ride horses. You didn't have to lift up swords. So that is a gift from Allah. That is the easiest spoils of war you're going to get. مَا فَأَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ فَمَا أَوْجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. You didn't have to try to get these spoils of war by riding a horse or walking or doing anything. However, Allah Ta'ala, He gives His prophets what He wishes, and He is capable of all things. فجعل أموال بني النضير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خاصة يضعها حيث يشاء. The Prophet ﷺ had the right to do anything he wished with the wealth of the Bani Nadir, as opposed to spoils of war in battle where the soldiers get a cut. 80% gets to the soldiers, 20% to the state. Okay. But this, all of it to the state. Why? Because the soldiers didn't do anything, right? You didn't fight. So the Prophet ﷺ distributed between the migrants, the emigrants, the muhajirs, because of their poverty. They were so poor. So he gave it to them to start their life and get their life better. And he only gave to 3 Ansar who were poor. There were three Ansar who were very poor. Abu Dujana, Sahl ibn Hunayf, and Al-Harith ibn Samma. And they had needs. All the other Ansar, they lived well. They had farms, they had businesses, they had other things. And the reason the Prophet loved the Ansar more than any other people is because of this. A large sum of money can come up, and he needs to give to other people who need the money more, and they don't get upset. This is one of the reasons the Prophet ﷺ praised the Ansar. He said, when there's a call for help, everyone shows up. When there's a call that there's money, and there's food, and there's a lot of good things, they're slow to go. They're not greedy. They love to help, and they're not greedy to take stuff for themselves. It was only at the end of the Prophet's time, alayhi salatu wasalam, when the spoils of war were distributed to the Quraysh and nothing to the Ansar, that's when the Ansar feared, is his heart going back to them and leaving us? That's truly what they feared. It wasn't about the money, right? Although the sort of communicator of that was the spoils of war, giving everything to them, nothing to us. They were hurt. They felt maybe the Prophet's heart is going back to his people. And so that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his speech, which was that, is it not enough that they're getting animals, donkeys, camels and goats and sheep, and the Messenger of Allah is going back with you? Going back home with you is the Messenger of Allah. And then he said, if the Ansar went one way and the whole world went another way, I'll go the way of the Ansar. So the Prophet, in his praise of Mecca, was that his favorite piece of land on the earth was Mecca. But his favorite people were the Ansar. All right, well, let's read one more statement here. From Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, da'ahu, إذ جاءه حاجبة فقال هل لك في عثمان وعبد الرحمن والزبير وسعد يستأذنون قال نعم فأدخلهم فلبث يرفع قليلا ثم جاء فقال هل لك في عباس وعلي يستأذنون قال نعم فلما دخل قال عباس يا أمير المؤمنين اقضي بيني وبين هذا وهما يختصمان في الذي أفاء الله على رسوله من بني النضير فقال الرهط يا أمير المؤمنين اقضي بينهما وأرح أحدهما من الآخر. This is, he's telling here a story about Abbas and Ali. Sayyidina Abbas, Sayyidina Ali, uncle and nephew. They had a dispute. They went to Umar ibn Khattab about a financial dispute regarding some of these spoils of war. أنشدكم بالله الذي بإذنه تقوم السماء والأرض هل تعلمون أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا نورث ما تركنا صدقة. They said, Umar began and he said, don't you know that what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم leaves upon death is not inherited? It's charity. يريد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نفسه قالوا قد قال ذلك. They said, yes, we will know he said this. فأقبل عمر على علي وعباس. So he turned to them. فقال أنشدكما بالله هل تعلماني أن رسول الله قال ذلك. Do you know that the Prophet said this? They said, yes, we know this. فإني أحدثكم عن هذا الأمر أن الله كان خص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الفيء بشيء لم يعطيه أحدا غيره. فقال وما أفاء الله على رسوله منهم. And he cited this verse. Okay. وكانت هذه خالصة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما احتازها دونكم ولا استأثرها عليكم لقد أعطاكموها وبثها فيكم حتى بقي منها هذا المال. So they're talking about what is left over from the money that the Prophet distributed. There was some leftover. So where does that go? فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم ينفق على أهله نفقة سنتهم من هذا المال. He used to give his family this wealth. He would basically sustain them with this. ثم يأخذ ما بقي فيجعله مجعل مال الله. Whatever was left over, he would put it as in the box of Bayt al-Mal. So the Prophet did this his whole life. And then he passed away. فقال أبو بكر Ana wali Rasulillah. I'm taking the responsibility that the Prophet used to do. And he did the same thing with that. He would help the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, with this money. What was the leftover? He put it in the charity or in the Bayt al-Mal. وأنتما حين إذن جميع وأقبل على علي وعباس تذكراني أن أبا بكر فعل فيه كما تقولاني. You son, you know that Abu Bakr did the same thing. ثم توفى الله أبا بكر. Then Allah took Abu Bakr. فقلت أنا ولي رسول الله وأبي بكر. So now I'm the doing what Abu Bakr did. And we'll do exactly what Abu Bakr did. In other words, use this wealth, take care of the family of the Prophet, and the rest of it goes into Bayt al-Mal. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي فِيهِ صَادِقٌ بَارٌ رَاشِدٌ تَابِعٌ لِلْحَقِّ. And Allah knows that this is what I'm doing, and it's truthful, and it's good, and it's following the truth. Now you both come to me. Okay? And you have one word. وَأَمْرُكُمْ جَمِيعُ فَقُلْتُ لَكُمَا. And I say to you what I said before. Prophets don't leave any inheritance. It's charity. Okay. وإلا فلا تكلماني فيه فقلتما ادفعها إلينا بذلك فدفعتها إليكما ففتس. تلتمساني مني قضاء غير ذلك فوالله الذي بإذنه تقوم السماء والأرض لا أقضي فيها قضاء غير ذلك حتى تقوم الساعة فإن عجزتما عنها فأدفعها إلي فإني أكفيكم. Okay, so let's stop here at ayah number 7. This basically, that was what Omar is saying. He's saying this is what we're going to do with the wealth. It is going to continue to be treated that way. The wealth of the Bani Nadir. All right, that is segment number 2, 3 now. And now the final segment, let's take some Q&A and see what's going here. Sulaiman Tariq, what tafsir is this? Tafsir al-Baghawi. M1 saying, Salam from Bangladesh. Do you know that our number 3 viewership is India? Number 1, U.S., barely number 2, like neck and neck, UK, then India. Oh, is it UK number 1? Oh, UK is number... That makes sense, because this shows up when they're home from work, right? Or on the way back from work, and it shows up here from people are still at work. Okay. What level of Arabic do I need for the advanced studies on ArcView? When you go to ArcView and you sign up for ArcView Arabic, you're going to be given a test. When you take that test, you'll get placed. Yeah. Okay, somebody's saying that they had an addiction and they said, oh Allah, if I do this again, punish me. Right? So you should never do this. Like, you should never even come close to anything like that. Like, why would you say that? Why don't you say, Allah, forgive me? Right? Allah forgives the penitent. So don't ever say this. All right, here's a question from a sister. She says, about people who don't marry for valid reasons. Okay. Okay, for example, someone looks miserable in marriage, they're not the right person to ask. Yeah, that makes sense, right? The whole community around me is either divorced or in a marriage that they should end, and they're only holding on to it for the kids. No one wants to admit it. Everyone's acting like a victim. Marriage, I believe, is superior, she says. But I, seeing all this, I've become very cautious about marriage. Because all people available for marriage are showing the same signs, which is lack of deen, character's not sound, mentally dependent, not a decision maker, immature, irresponsible. But they're biologically ready to get married. They think they're eligible. And I am the one who's being seen as extreme or picky. Right? But society and relatives, all right, are the problem. All right, so I get what you're saying, but what you have to understand is that your community cannot be the representative cut of the whole world, right? So, yeah, maybe you just have bad examples. So maybe, well, those types of people definitely aren't the people for you to be accepting. So there are reasons, valid reasons, why people don't get married. What's not valid and unacceptable is the principle. And if you want your group, your movement, your whatever it is that you're believing in, if you want it to advance, you need numbers, you need community, you need wealth, and all these things happen through this function of getting married to produce kids, right? That's just how it is. Watch, just I'm telling you, almost guaranteed, give it 20, 30 years. People are going to look around and say, where are all the gays? Right? I guarantee you. It's like, what happened? Like, they took over the world for like 30 years. Where are these people? Right? Where are the trans people? The moment it stops being a fad, right? Like, fads come out. The moment the novelty wears out, the movement is done. Right? The moment the sympathy dies out, you can't be sympathetic for so long. As we can see even here with the Yehud, they're trying to ride sympathy all the time. Khalas, we have had it. The sympathy was 100 years ago almost, the incident that you guys are wanting us to sympathize for you for something that happened 100 years ago? Nah, right? Like two generations removed. Once the sympathy, once the novelty, it's not sustainable. Even we say in Islam, the energy of the Sahaba, that was not going to last. They saw kufr, lived in kufr, fought the enemy, saw the Messenger of Allah amongst them, fought for him, sacrificed for him. No other generation will ever have that. Therefore, they will never produce that energy. So how does the Ummah survive? Numbers, right? By winning major battles, that's so important. And now that you're in charge of the order, people will start coming into you for practicality's purpose. And hopefully they'll believe too. And eventually they'll believe, right? And then you'll just have great numbers. So every movement has to have that. So young people may think, I don't want to talk about marriage and family right now. It's like, no, okay, do you want you don't want to talk about it because that's irrelevant. The reality is not changing. If you go full steam ahead with a movement, but you don't produce a kid who will take the baton from you, the movement will die. Simple as that. And I don't want our movement to die. I don't want our thing to die. I want it to pass on. The best way to pass it on is every single one of us produce a couple more kids. Three minimum, right? Three minimum. Why do I say three minimum? Because if you produce two, you just replaced yourselves. You didn't increase the number. You just stayed stagnant. Well, what happens if one of them doesn't have kids or dies? Now we're at a loss. So we need insurance policy. Insurance policy is the third kid, right? And even that, right? That's an insurance policy. If one of the two doesn't work, if one of the three doesn't work out, you're still down to one. So you got to score an empty net goal. It's called insurance, right? You get an empty net goal. You want to be up by two scores with 2 minutes left. You need to be up by two scores. You can't be up by one score. It's too risky. Be up by one score, you could lose the game, right? You want to be up by two scores. Once up by two scores, you're chilling. Halas, right? Just let them score the first one even. Let them score. We get the ball back. We run a few plays. We take a knee. Qudiya al-amr. It's the same thing. Four is the magic number because I say that because everything stable is four. Table's got four legs. We got four limbs. If you have three kids, two of them can't talk without icing out the other. They can't play anything. It's to be 2-on-1, right? You as a parent have to trot out. You know, okay? You're going to have to trot out and you won't even play because you can't defeat your kids for another kid. Right? Who am I gonna be with? All right, I'm gonna be with the third kid, playing against kid one and two. Right? Dad and kid three against kid one and two. I'm gonna have to score all the points. They're gonna know this wasn't a real competition, right? No one's gonna be happy at the end of the day, win or lose, because it wasn't a real competition, right? So, that's the philosophy. It doesn't mean that every single case of an unmarried person has some, like, blameworthy. It's not the point. The whole point is we know that there is a problem. People finding people being picky, we know all these issues. We're saying the philosophy is blameworthy. The position. It's like Allah Ta'ala, how He treats sinners. If you know you're sinning and you're repenting, you're good with Allah Ta'ala. even if you keep falling, but you make tawbah. What else is the meaning of Allah saying that Allah loves the penitent? You keep falling into sins, but you dust yourself up, get up, dust yourself off, and try and be better the next day. You're a tawwab. Allah loves the tawwabin. But the one who accepts it for himself. Yeah, that's me. I'm okay with it. I'm fine. I don't mind. I believe it's okay even. Now you're in different territories of badness. Right? Same thing with this. We promote something doesn't mean the one who hasn't done it is blameworthy. It's not the case at all. Question? Okay, let's say the next comment here. Best books on Andalus. Don't know. If I smoke tobacco, is my prayer valid? Yes, it's valid. The tobacco is one matter, and this salah is another matter. So tobacco is probably has rulings between prohibition or discouragement. Whatever the ruling is, it is. Take smoking or chewing tobacco, like the old school baseball players, which is banned because they were destroying the grass when they spit. It was banned, right? At least the spitting on the grass, I think. I remember that being an issue. But that's likely to be treated as sinful because it's bad for you. We know it's bad for you. It's a waste of money. It's bad for you. So it has nothing to do with your salah, though. Your salah will still be valid. Okay. If you have a bad smell, if it produces a bad odor, angels hate that. They don't like bad odors. Therefore, Allah doesn't like bad odors, right? Anything that the angels do is a reflection of Allah's will. If angels love something, Allah loves it. There's no such thing as the angels loving something and Allah doesn't love it, right? Angels are a direct reflection of Allah's will. Redi Haderi sounds Lebanese. He's saying, Fiqh is Sunnah. Do we read this book? Fiqh is Sunnah. You might as well just read Shafi'i Fiqh. Right, read the books of Shafi'i fiqh because it's 95% Shafi'i. So just go to the Shafi'i madhab and call it a day. Does making fictional stories concerning murder or magic count as talking about sins, even if they're portrayed negatively, since talking about sins is prohibited? Well, it's glorifying sins as long as you're not glorifying it. But then again, these days, people sort of like the antagonist, right? Because the typical story now, people have watched so many movies that they need to change the nature of movies now. And now you have the anti-hero. The anti-hero is, he's the protagonist of the story. He's the good guy of the story. But he's actually really bad. And there's enough goodness in him and enough worse characters in him to make you like him. That's the new hero. It's the anti-hero. And you'll see that in a lot of movies these days and a lot of storylines where the guy is a terrible person. He's a terrible human being, right? But the people around him are worse, and he does have some good qualities, enough that makes you endeared to him and you're rooting for him, and he is abused by those who are worse than him. That's the anti-hero quality. So you may create a villain, but people end up rooting for the villain. So I can't tell you it's halal or haram, but all we can say is a Muslim should not end up glorifying something forbidden. That's all we could say. Yeah.
What did the Messenger of Allah say about consuming non-halal food and how it affects your dua?
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was approached by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, Sa'd, what would you like? And Sa'd became really smart. He was very smart. He said, I would like, he's expecting a prayer, right? I would like this, I would like that. I would like to be mujab al-da'wah. I would like all my dua to be answered. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't grant it to him. He gave him a condition. He said, Altib mat'amak yustajab da'watak. Purify your food, your dua will be answered. So what counts as pure food? The wealth that we buy with has to be pure. Number two, when we eat meat, it has to be slaughtered by a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew. And that meat to be slaughtered, the basmala is different on in the different madhabs. from recommended to obligatory, if you remember and are able to obligatory, absolutely, Hanafi school. And the method of cutting is also different on. Do I have to be right there with the knife to cut it, or can I let a machine cut it? But they do agree upon another thing, which is it has to actually get cut, the neck, with certainty, not with estimation. So that if I were to see, for example, a chicken get cut, let's say in the chest, because it was a taller chicken, so the blade went to the chest, and then other chickens got cut normally, and then that one chicken fell in the vat with all the other ones, and then they move on and they got washed, and now I don't know what's what. That's a problem. We have to have certainty. So that chicken must be removed from the batch, put on the side, and throw it in the garbage, or fed to animals, right? So the certainty is agreed upon across all the madhabs. The basmala is different on. The nature of the cutting is different on. Even which neck, which parts of the neck. There's a neck, there's the throat, there's the air pipe, esophagus, the trachea, throat and the air pipe. Then there's two veins. Four have to be cut? Three have to be cut? One have to be cut? So the madhab is different on that too. So there are things that are differed upon, and there are things that are absolute. And a Muslim has to go with what's absolute. And it's sufficient for a Muslim to trust another pious Muslim on this because of the impossibility of discerning this ourselves. It's like physically impossible. You run a meat packing industry. You're in the meat packing industry. Packing or slaughtering? Both of you are in the business? Amazing. So now we know we have an inside scoop. So how do you do it?
Well, for our turkeys, we go out to the place and we actually...
That's easy. There's no discussion on that. Halal. How about the mass-produced chicken, which is always the issue?
Always done by hand.
You guys hand slaughter?
There are companies that do by hand, and then there's companies that mechanically slaughter. Traditionally, we always went on the side of caution.
That's amazing. Are you Egyptian?
Yeah.
No.
His
See?
Father was Hanafi. His father was the emir for the, to believe, Jama'at.
So you're Pakistani?
No.
Palestinian?
Keep guessing. Syrian. You'll never guess.
Dominican? No.
Scotch, Irish, and French.
No. Okay. He's out of the picture completely. Because... That's really good to know that I would have never guessed it, by the way. But that's really good that you guys are in this business because, you know, people always wonder. Now, what companies do you pack for so that people in the marketplace can know?
So we just do our own retail shop right now.
What's your company called?
Prime Halal.
Yeah. Prime Halal. I don't see it in New Jersey yet.
No, it's just local. in our local Philadelphia area.
Oh, that's amazing.
But, yeah, we always kept it.
On the safe side.
Slaughtering,
right? No Christian slaughter. Amish maybe?
Maybe
the Amish?
Maybe. Even a lot of times they have other people slaughter for them.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't technically have to do faith-based slaughtering.
Do you guys want to get into Jersey? Prime Halal?
We were told like North Jersey, they had a lot of customers that come from New York.
Yeah.
And they were suggesting North Jersey.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you cover all bases.
You cover all your bases by going hand slaughter. You should. That's how it's best to be.
I mean, when you say Bismillah and, you know, 120 chickens go by in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Right? There's just...
Yeah.
We just thought that to be not...
You don't want
to
go there.
No.
So you run your own slaughterhouse?
No. So you there's many different...
Oh, but you only use those that you approve. So you go to them.
Yeah, we go to them. We monitor them. And there's also law monitoring companies that go after them, like, and check everything.
Which
but generally, if somebody is saying this is hand slaughtered, you know, pricing is obviously more.
Uh-huh.
Right. And they'll make sure it's that it's hand slaughtered, right?
That's amazing.
Mechanically slaughtered stuff is obviously 30 or 40% cheaper.
Mm-hmm. So
demand for properly slaughtered stuff now.
Do you freeze and ship on a website, through a website?
We are starting that probably next month.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're opening up a new store from where we are now, but that's going to be ready next year, before summertime, and then we're going to offer a lot of those different options of shipping. And
amazing. That's great. That's great.
That way, you keep a handle on the prices. You know, if you control, where the animals are coming from, the slaughtering.
Yep.
Less hands that touch it, then you can keep the price down for the customers. So.
Where are chickens grown in the East Coast?
In the East Coast, generally the ones that we get are grown right outside.
Point this mic over to them, please. Turn this mic on and point it over as much as you can. Yep.
Outside of the Lancaster area, which is right out about an hour and a half outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so most of them are grown over there. It all depends on the on the company that we use, but there is one specifically that uses stuff that's live chickens that come from local farms and it puts out a better product.
So it's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
That's good. That's amazing. And so your company is called Prime Halal. Prime Halal, what's the logo there? Is it,
It'll be primehalal.com. We have a website.
Beautiful. Mashallah.
It's on Instagram too.
Okay, good. So everyone who is in the area, in the PA area, that's, you're going to be your go-to.
We appreciate the plug.
All right. Yeah. Prime Halal. He knows how to lead. He knew how to lead the question. Right? That's a faqih right there. He knows one domino is going to lead to the third one. So now, are you guys friends with our other...
You probably know my brother, Shuaib.
That's your brother. That's SubhanAllah. Brother. Yeah. SubhanAllah. Ajib. Of course, everyone knows Shuaib. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Wonderful. So Prime Halal. There's their website. Omar has got it up. Prime Food... Prime Halal meat, so not Prime Food Halal.
No.
Okay. Prime, you get Deion, you get Deion Sanders to give you a plug there. Prime Halal meat.
What'd you call it? Should show up. Or Instagram should show up.
.org.
Should be .com.
No.
Put www.
Having our website reconstructed right now.
Started
with a new social media. And,
okay, good. Yeah.
But our Instagram is just Prime Halal. You can see it on Instagram.
Yeah, he might be working good. On it right now. Actually, I think he is this week. He's working on it.
Very good.
Right there.
Yeah, we're moving off Wix too. That is nice. That's really good to know that there is this certainty in your slaughtered meats. MashaAllah. Wonderful.
So we do all the butchering. We get, sides of beef, and we do all the butchering there. That's like one of our things, that we still do old school classic butchering.
That's great. Hey, Omar, go to that. Share this on the screen. Share this on the stream. Yeah. And that was a good biryani, too, though. Let's take a look at that. You guys are making, it's making me hungry. Right? Click on that one.
Yeah.
Folks, you're going to get to see some...
This whole social media thing.
Oh.
No, it's not my generation.
Next, you start a restaurant. Because now your costs will be really... The quality to cost. You control the whole thing.
The place that we're going to be opening, inshallah, is going to be... we've always had... When you go into the halal food...
click on that biryani, Om.
Food, you get, chicken over rice, lamb over rice, beef over rice, those different types of things. But we're trying to bring back things that you can't get in halal, like pastrami sandwiches, corned beef Reubens,
different things like that. Yeah.
That is some serious stuff. Look at that. I'm trying to place that. Is that like a Moroccan? Is that?
No, that is a
general. What is that?
Italian.
Okay. Which is good because you're now bringing stuff that is not the common everyday halal.
Yeah.
If you opened a restaurant and you sold biryani, well, thousand stores do that. Yeah, you get that from everywhere.
The only thing that might be different is maybe the quality of the meat.
Let's look at that steak that's on that grill, Homer. Yeah, let's click on that one. Okay, that is a nice thick cut. Look at the size. Look at the size of that cut.
I'm not good with social media, so.
Well, now you are. Look at the size of that cut. He's got the black gloves, which everyone loves these days. Keep going down. Let's see more. Oh, go there. Click on that one. Let's see so people could see our guest.
This one?
Yeah. There he is. So, Shoaib is in the coffee. Laith is in the meat.
You
single? Huh? They're both single brothers. Ready to...
I'm married.
He's married. Okay.
I have three kids.
Married with three kids.
He's looking for a wife, though.
Okay.
I didn't say looking, but...
Italian.
No, we should give him a Stone Brothers right here.
Yeah. Okay, there you have it. That's our... That's our other guest there on the left, all the way on the left. That is a good-looking restaurant there, or whatever. What is that, a restaurant?
That's going to be where the market's going to be.
The market.
6,000 square feet, inshallah.
Amazing. Butcher, everything.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Butchery, eat-in, you know.
And to tell your viewers, we had no idea you were going to put this
there. Well,
right?
Yeah. That's okay.
We were in the area. We had time off, and he came through here, and he said, I want to go to the live stream, and you know, I said, okay, I'll.
This is great. 6,000 square feet. It's going to be a market. You can eat there. You can buy your meat there. What else can you do there?
So it'll be a full market with, so we'll have an Amish produce guy. We'll have a cafe. And then we'll have, of course, a nice prepared food department.
What is it next to in Philly?
So it's not too far away from the downtown area.
By the stadiums, then?
No, the stadiums is more the south end, so this would be just a few blocks away from downtown.
Yeah, not too far away from downtown Philly.
Okay, not bad. So anyone who's down in Philly, this is going to be your spot for lunch.
Yeah.
Scoop up some of that. Keep scrolling down. Let's see more. Keep scrolling down, Omar. Man, to that knife. Barbecue, grilling.
Yeah.
Mashallah, look at that. That is really...
That's the food that you actually see before.
And what is that Kobe or?
That no, we get Angus, black Angus meat in. So between choice and prime.
What is Angus actually entail, that word?
A breed.
It's a breed of cow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And look at that. That's how your hamburger gets made. When you put it through the pasta machine, right? You put meat through a really strong pasta machine.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you do it.
All your burgers, meatloaf or whatever, you know, meatballs, stuff like that.
And that's really good. And now you'd be the supplier as well to the local hamburger operations. I'm getting hungry, man. I'm getting hungry. Oh, we gotta close up because I have these meetings to attend to. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. Guys, we will on the stream. I see Abdullah US, Adam. Many people have questions here. You want to know about eating dogs in the Maliki school? Don't worry, they're not. Firstly, they're not serving dogs. Number one, but number two, the whole idea is that Malik only deemed what's in the Quran to be prohibited. Animals with canines that are predators are discouraged out of disgust. When the Prophet forbade them, he meant it's disgusting. But the prohibition is only what the Quran produces, because the Quran itself says, say, I don't find anything prohibited to you except what has been revealed. Right, so that's the summary of that. We got to go. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa aminu s-salihat. Wa tawasaw bil-haq. Wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Wassalamu alaikum.